Hallelujah. Greetings, dear heart. This is Standing in the Gap with Pastor Monica here tonight. We are here on usually Fridays. I apologize, we weren't here last night. But Friday, Saturdays, and Sunday nights from 11 p.m. to 1 a.m. I am so excited and elated to be here, even more than usual. I missed you. I'm here for you, Standing in the Gap. I got to tell you a lot of great things that are going on in the life of this broadcast, as well as in my own life, that I want to share with you and hope that it can encourage you in your life. Some of those things we can do together also with an upcoming event, as far as share that personal information, just like I said, in person. So stay with us right here on Standing in the Gap. I really want us to hear the words to this song that is the theme not only of this show, but of my own ministry from my heart to yours. So stay with me right here on Standing in the Gap with Pastor Monica. Know you can give me a call with your live prayer requests and praise reports. 904-296-2251. Almost gave up my personal number again, which I don't actually mind doing. But anyway, 904-296-2251. And I can pray with you, for you, on air or off air, discuss anything you're going through or to, and you can get some extra insight and just some extra support, or some support if you feel like you don't have any at all. So let's listen to Standing in the Gap by Miss Babbie Mason and stay with us right here on Praise 107.9. That's right. Absolutely. Someone is standing in the gap just for you. I'm glad to be at least one of those. Again, this is Standing in the Gap with Pastor Monica. I am Pastor Monica R. Hooks of Worship Worldwide Ministries Incorporated, and we are here tonight to start our focus on In the Gardens and talking about the very, very different ways that we grow as far as how God is dealing with us. And so we thank God for the fact that he allows us to go through different ages and stages of life, and we're going through so many things. But right now, I just definitely want to open in prayer first, as we always do. God, we just pray that you continue to allow us to trust you and help us to do so, no matter what the world looks like, no matter what happens to God, what tragedies happen. Help us to remember that you are God and that you are sovereign, that you seriously are not forgetting about us or forsaking us or leaving us. Allow us where we are right now just to be open to your own ministry, to breathe through this broadcast, to reach your people, to meet us at a point of our need. Help us, Lord, to be encouraged, to be empowered, to be edified by you so that we can be better for you, that we can help out your kingdom, and that we can be a blessing to each other, dear God, before we go to the other side of heaven. In Jesus' name, have your way, as we always say, and please have mercy. And we all say amen. Welcome to Standing in the Gap with Pastor Monica. So Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, 11 p.m. to 1 a.m. Had some traveling conflicts yesterday, so I do apologize, and I hope you forgive me for not being here. I was sick about it. And praying for you still from wherever I was on my way back here. Just praying that God continue to bless you and keep you, and let me come and be on my assignment again. So thank you, Jesus. And thank you if you forgave me. If you haven't, please consider that. We want to start by talking about In the Garden. You know, we're going through different things in life. We see the hurricane damage. We see the Puerto Rico and Mexico and the earthquakes. We see the Las Vegas shootings. We see so much going on. And for those who, you know the Lord and accept God, it can be very trying as well. You know, it can challenge our faith or try to nip away at what we believe. It can mess with how we feel about things. And so I'm here tonight to encourage you the same way God encourages me, to know that God told us that all these things would happen. And ever since, you know, the beginning of time, where we had this great fall as represented through Eve and Adam, you know, they represent us. So we could never be really upset with them about making the choice that they did to eat fruit that was forbidden, because they really do represent us. And if we were in that situation, we would probably do the same thing. So remember, they came here not as babies. They were created as humans and of age. And we don't know exactly what age. And so it's not like they knew or grew into it. I'm not giving them excuses. I'm just making sure we stay on the sidelines and not judge, but to learn. So since then, there's been all type of growth that we can see in every garden, you know, symbolically and figuratively. And so we want to start talking this weekend about the Garden of Eden. The following weekend, according to how God leads us, we will be talking about the Garden of Gethsemane. We'll be talking about the Garden of Golgotha. And then we'll be talking about the Garden of Paradise, or the Garden of God, which is eschatology, the end of days times, those things that we see in the book of Revelation that speaks to those gardens. These are all the gardens that are listed in the Bible, the main ones. And God is showing me that we can learn a lot from those situations, because we're all some type of plant or some type of flower. You know, there are all types of flowers in the Bible. There's all type of references to it. Isaiah talks about the grass that withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Song of Solomon says that I am a rose of Sharon, Jesus, and God, a lily of the valleys. Matthew even reminds us that why are we anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, Even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. And again, we know that Jesus is the lily of the valley, that, and we're going to talk about what that means as well. But first, we're going to hear some music to invite God into our hearts, to invite God into our lives. Please know you can contact us by going to the website, praise1079.com. If you are in your car or you're near a radio, but then you move, you can still get us over your smartphone by getting the app by CP Broadcasting, Praise 107.9. Or you can go to the website on your phone or your computer by going to praise1079.com. And there, if you go to the Standing the Gap with Pastor Monica information, you can also have other ways to send in your comments or questions or concerns or information or prayer requests, praise reports. You can send in song requests as well. We want the songs to minister to you. And there to show you how to get to the email, the SITG, PastorMon@gmail.com. It also has a Facebook icon that you can go to the page. And there you can send a messenger. And we're managing all of those right now. So please just get in touch with us. Whether you call in, email in, whether you do whatever you do, just join in, so that we can pray together and continue to slay together the evils that try to come against us. Stay with me right here and let's praise God. Let's listen to Benjamin Dube out of Africa singing Jehovah is Your Name. Hallelujah. We have a call. I'm so sorry. We have a call. Not for the call. I'm sorry that I let that play, that part. But I want to get this call in so that we can all be encouraged about the prayer request as well, and that we can all pray. I have one of my adopted moms on the phone now. Mother L, are you there?
Yeah.
Okay. So we want to, let me just turn this down a little bit so we can hear you. Will you tell us what your prayer request is tonight, darling?
Yes, I want to know which way God wants me to go. There's so many things on my mind, but I need to know exactly which way he wants me to go.
Right, that's so beautiful. And so Mother L and I were talking off air just a little bit. I thank you for being such an encouragement to us, Mom, because no matter what age or stage we're in, as we're talking about gardens tonight, God continues to grow us and show us how to be a better us, right?
Right.
Okay, and so I thank you for that. Now, you say you do a lot of things for other people. Like, what type of things do you already do?
Oh, pray for people, give people, just always doing something.
Okay, and so in those areas, you know God has blessed you and gifted you, but you feel him stirring up other areas as well?
Yes.
Okay, that's beautiful. What do you like to do? Like, Mother L, if there was something you could do and get and bless God really well doing it and be blessed doing it as well, whether it was financially or just in your heart or your spirit, what do you think that would be?
Well, it would be financially and for my children and my grandchildren, just for the things of this world, because there's so much evenness in this world nowadays, and it's bothering me to see all this here. Even I'm just like how back in the Bible, looking at all this evil and stuff like that, you know. It's need a change in this world.
So I understand. I got you. And so whatever you do, you just want to make sure that you bless God and that you bless your family too.
Yes.
Okay. Yes. So you ready to pray now?
Yes.
All right. God, we thank you so much for Mother L right now. We just ask that you continue to stir up the gifts that are within her. We thank you, dear God, that as she matures in her spirit, as she matures chronologically, as she matures in her mind and her psyche, that you keep maturing her as well in her spirit. We thank you for the example that you give us. We thank you for all the prayers that she intercedes for so many. Thank you for letting her stand in the gap for us. Thank you for the prayers that she even had for me for yesterday. Thank you, God, for her forgiveness too. And thank you, dear Lord, right now, just for allowing her to know that you are the one to go to help in any situation. Whatever her ministry is in this season of her life, God, we just thank you that she's such a sweetheart and that you continue to use the things that have come against her to make her better and not bitter. We thank you, dear God, that she knows that you are sweeter than a honeycomb, and so she can be also in how she represents you. So God, continue to show her how to be a blessing to you and your kingdom and to your people. Please continue to show her, dear Lord, as only you can, how to try on different shoes of ministry, whether it's evangelizing, whether it's teaching your word, whether it's praying for people by phone as well. Just continue to show her how to be a blessing to her family, for her first and foremost ministry has been to them, as you have called her to do. And we thank you for those seeds of righteousness that she's planted in them. We thank you for those seeds of love. And we thank you, dear God, that she has told them unashamedly about you, that they know about you before your second coming. And we thank you for her testimony, God. We thank you for even the aches and the pains that she feels right now, because when she doesn't feel well, she gives you the sacrifice of praise. So, God, we thank you for the joy she has, even when things aren't happy around her. We thank you for how you provide for her, even when it doesn't look like it's going to happen. Continue to bless your child, Mother L, according to your will. And in Jesus' name, we will give you all the glory for it, because you deserve it. And we both and we all say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Mother L. You know I love you. Thank you so much for praying for me. But I'm here. I'll be here tomorrow as well.
Well, God bless you and keep you, okay?
Okay, you too. You have a safe night.
Okay.
All right. Love you too. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, stay with us right here on Standing in the Gap with Pastor Monica. We are going to continue to do our series, talk about that in the garden. I also want to let you know now, as we're talking about prayer, about the upcoming event we have. October 20th is our first Standing in the Gap, thank God it's Friday, heart-to-heart moment. That's all it really is. It's a TGIF-SITG moment. And so we're going to have those at least one Friday every month, and I want you to know about it. It will be at the Salem Center, and that is at 7235 Bonneville Road. So October 20th is a Friday night from 6:30 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. I want you to come however you come. There's no dress code. There's no charge. All we want you to do is to show up. Meet us at the Salem Center, 7235, and that's Bonneville Road. And it's going to be on the second floor in the Liberty Room. We're going to have a nice, intimate, personal time, an extension of the show to talk and do some in-person lessons and hands-on prayer. Doesn't matter what denomination you are, doesn't matter if it's non-denomination, doesn't matter if you're saved or unsaved, whether you're younger, older, mild or bolder, it does not matter. We just want you to come and invite other people that you know, especially if you know people are looking for either just a break. You know, we were supposed to fellowship with one another outside of our own places for those of us who are in churches. So it's just another way for those who are involved very heavily in ministry to have hands-free worship, to come to a place where there's nothing asked of them. You can just disrobe spiritually and allow yourself to be ministered to and through, so you can go and continue to minister to the people. And for those who are still looking for a place, it's just a place to do the same for you a little differently, to encourage you and to keep you, and to have a safe place for you to discuss what you're going through, to pray about it, a lesson you can learn and eat on, until God directs you to a church home. Since, you know, the place that I pastor is not a church, it's a ministry that helps other churches and other ministries and helps abroad a lot, but it helps locally as well. That's Worship Worldwide Ministries Incorporated. So this is a Standing in the Gap heart-to-heart moment, and I hope that you'll meet me there October 20th, Friday night, 6:30 to 8:30 in the Salem Center's Liberty Room. Let's listen to our encouragement for tonight in talking about In the Gardens. Wow. That's that Jesse Campbell right there. That child of God right there can sing. Thank you, God, for that. So let me share some information with you now. Let me just get to that. I was working on reading Isaiah 61, and that's kind of the opening scripture. Doing things just a little bit differently, but not much. I would usually start scripture at the very top, and we'll probably continue to do that. But I just wanted to pray a little more. So this is the scripture, though, now. It's Isaiah 61, and also part of our lesson is out of that. So 61, Isaiah, says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified." And that's where God really has us now, right? With everything that we're seeing. Remember, a lot of times I'll say I'm watching the news and it just gets so heavy. Sometimes I'm praying all the time, but sometimes I'm also crying because I've never understood why people hurt people. And I understand that those who feel hurt or those who feel lost or those who have mental issues or those who are allowing themselves or have become overwhelmed by evil, you know, things happen in this life. And again, since we did the fall, remember God provided everything that we were supposed to have in the Garden of Gethsemane. I'm sorry, in the Garden of Eden. That's a whole nother level in the Garden of Gethsemane. But we'll get to that in a few weeks, God willing. So in the Garden of Eden, you know, we have four major gardens in the Bible. The Garden of Eden. And that shows us how when, like Adam and Eve, or even Adam, where we're facing choices to be made, such as Genesis 3, when God says we were made like that they made us like him. When he says we made them like us, meaning God was present, Christ was present, and the Spirit of God was present that we know as the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. And so God made us like God. But since that time, we have to admit, since that fall out of perfection, our perfect relationship with God was fractured, but he already had a remedy that was right there in that Trinity. And again, these are just some tidbits that some may know and some may not. Of course, Trinity itself, you won't find it in the Bible, but the concept is there. God as Father or Creator, God as Son, Holy, and God as Holy Spirit. You know, that was technical stuff that I know and I can share with you when we have more time. But that was a Nicene Creed where people actually gathered together. I think that was Tertullian. And they decided what to call that. So it is in the Bible. It's not something that we're adding to the Bible. It's just something that we use to help us understand. So in this great Trinity, we find ourselves in this perfect relationship, now given an option to be like God. Not like gods, not like small g gods, but like God. That God had us in a perfect relationship with him. And I'm struggling to say him because God is not just a him, but you know what I mean. It's a perfect relationship with God, with Theo, with ourself, with self as well, and with each other, with Adam and Eve, and Eve with Adam, and with the land and the creatures on it. One husband, one wife, married, and then eventually, even after the fall, they had children. They were just one to one. Then Cain and Abel came, also representing us, and that shows us how one tried to be honorable to God, the other one became like a small g god by deciding when his own brother's life should end, allowing either envy or jealousy or rage to come in when God wasn't pleased with his offering. Remember in Genesis where Cain and Abel both made offerings to God, but Cain did not give God his best. Abel did, and God told Cain that he was pleased with Abel, but he was not pleased with his Cain's offering. So God, just being honest, because he is the primary parent to all of us, and that upset Cain, though. So Cain goes and kills his brother out of sibling rivalry, I guess. And then, again, that shows that we have this opportunity for choice. Why are we talking about that now? Let me get to that. When I had my conversation with God recently, especially with the Las Vegas shootings, with the earthquakes, with the hurricanes, with the children missing, with elderly being abused and hurt, and sometimes I feel myself getting overwhelmed because I'm very spiritually sensitive. It's a gift from God, and it's a burden, or as Gardner Taylor would say, a burdensome joy. And so I find myself in those times listening to him saying that he is helping and that he has given us choices. He has given us dominion. Although he has sovereignty, when he gave us dominion, that did not mean that we were to do as we please, like God can do as he pleases. Even God doesn't just do as he pleases. He does as he pleases. That's based on a purpose and based on love. And so he gave us responsibility is what dominion means. And so in that, he keeps showing me that we have to pay attention to what's going on. So am I saying, oh, people in Las Vegas or people who get shot up aren't paying attention? No, I'm saying we're not paying attention as much as we should be. And what are we not paying attention? We're not paying attention to God as much as we should be. That's not a blanket statement of judgment. That's just a fact. If you allow the Holy Spirit to look at you and I'm allowing the Holy Spirit to look at me, no matter what we're doing, we can always better our attentiveness to God. So we're not, as a whole, we're not paying attention as well as we could be to ourselves. A lot of us, including myself, a lot of us will ignore when we're going through anxiety or depression or mental issues or psychological problems, physical problems, physiological problems, social problems. We're ignoring and brushing off. Some of us are from traditions and cultures where going to the doctor, going to a Lord have mercy, going to a therapist or a counselor. And God allows his greatness and his healing power to come through some of those resources, some of those people. I know as one who counsels and I know as one who receives counseling. Thank you, Jesus. So, and who has received therapy for my own depression, has nothing to do with your faith, nothing to do with my faith, has everything to do with the fact that we are human. We have come from a fallen state where we're no longer perfect and we are being perfected by God. That's why I feel really bad for those who deem themselves perfectionists, because it's just a way of saying you are going to be very frustrated for the rest of your life, because we can't perfect ourselves, but we can seek excellence. God is the only one who can perfect us. So we have come from this fallen state, and he has given us the gift of choice, because his purpose is for us to have dominion, to be responsible, to be God-like in the good ways, but not to be power tripping, literally tripping over power, to decide like Cain did when to kill somebody else because of our own inner issues. It wasn't God's choice for men to have several wives. That's just something he allowed, and he allows the consequences of our choices. Nowhere in the Bible did God tell for men in the Bible to have several wives. And we'll talk about that, you know, later too, because Adam just had Eve and their ancestors, Cain as well. And I think it was around the third generation. It was around the third generation, one of the descendants of Cain that end up having, deciding to have two wives. And that's when more trouble started. That's again, when more baby mama, daddy drama started. So even though they had the same. So my point is, God has given us the ability to choose. God has given us the responsibility to take care of others and to take care of ourselves. God has given us opportunity to also look out for each other and to be a blessing to his kingdom. But we just got to pay attention more. Pay attention to God more. I was talking to one of my friends and I said, one of my girlfriends, My sister's in ministry, and I said, you know, when I was telling God, you know, I need some practical examples of this, and he was showing me, you know, you watch movies and you see a woman or a man get off the elevator in a very dark parking port, you know, those parking decks where there are levels of it, and they get off an elevator. And some people will say that feeling that she gets is intuition, or that feeling that he gets is just a gut reaction. And God is saying that those are kind of true, but more than that, that's him. He's saying, that's me. And so we brush that off sometimes. Why? Because we're trying to be God in an irresponsible way. Well, I have things to do, so nothing's going to happen to me. Only God can say that nothing's going to happen to him. And we press forward to try to get to the car. And sure enough, instead of getting on the elevator like the Holy Spirit was trying to tell us, or the Spirit of God, for those who have not accepted Christ yet, God is still looking out for people who have not accepted Christ yet, because he wants you to accept Christ, and he has to keep you, keep those who are like that until you do so and are able to see even more of how he blesses you. So anyway, he is working. When we see that we're getting ready to go somewhere and we just get that feeling before we get in the car, that's the Lord trying to tell us something. I hope we start to listen a little better, because it is so sweet to trust God, because he is the ultimate one who is trustworthy. Amen. That is the focus for tonight. So I want you to know that thank you for those who are letting us know. We have a little engineering problem, technical problem, so you're not able to hear the songs for some reason. Everything's set up properly, but something's going on technically beyond our control right now. So what I'm going to do is to do the lesson that we have, and hopefully we can get our comedy parts in there as well. I'm not sure, but we're going to see. We're going to try. It keeps going on and off. So I do apologize for that. I did alert one of our engineers, and they actually alerted me as well. Don't worry about it. Just go ahead and do the lesson. So thank you, Jesus, for preparations. I'm sorry. God gives me the giggles. I'm really not sorry. So anyway, so look, Isaiah 61 says, the Spirit of the Lord God. God is so amazing. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. You know, this is from the Old Testament. And then this is the same scripture that in the New Testament where Jesus, you know, goes to the temple, and the tradition was for, you know, one of the priests to read certain scriptures, and Jesus walks up, the Word walks up to the Word, the Logos walks up to the podium and opens and reads the Old Testament writing. So they didn't have the same type of tablets and books that we have now. And so he has this probably papal paper, which is what they pretty much had during his time. And he reads the scribings of the Old Testament, which is talking about himself. And he says on this day that that is him, that is still him, and that's good news. And right now we need to hear, especially the all of it, but we definitely need to hear that he will give us comfort for all of those who mourn. And we say that for those who are going through any type of loss. Whenever we have great losses and massacres like we do, and it's a shame that I have to say whenever, because it happens more than once. It's happened at Sandy Hook. You know, it's happened to different hurricanes and tsunamis. It's happened at Columbine. It's happened abroad, internationally. It's happened in South Africa, in the mall. Lord have mercy. It's happened in Baltimore. It's happened in places where it is seen and shown in media and wide scope. And then it happens also in places right within our neighborhoods, and it doesn't make the news. And so wherever hurt and harm is happening in that way, we want everyone to remember that Jesus says he will comfort all who mourn. He also will console those who mourn in Zion. That means also in Jacksonville, Florida, in Jersey, and Jamaica, and Alabama, and the Antioch. That means everywhere. He will give us beauty for ashes. That when we don't know why this is burned, why this is gone, why this person is deceased, ashes to ashes, dust to dust, when we don't know why my home is destroyed from weather, that's hard for a person to wrap their head around. And we look at wood and ashes and debris when relationships burn down, burn out, and what was beautiful and growing is now just ashes. He will also give us the oil of joy for mourning. He will give us a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, which is what I was feeling myself. That they, meaning us, we are called to be trees of righteousness. As we're talking about gardens, all type of different plants. The planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. He knows that we're going to have mourning. We're going to need comfort. We're going to have spirit of heaviness. He knows that we're going through great loss. And I guess the situation, as I was discussing with one of my colleagues recently too, that we have a problem comprehending what God puts right in front of our face. Some of us. So I just say myself and include all of us, because at some point we all go through it. No matter how mature we are in the Word, how new we are in the Word, some of us at different stages of life find it hard to comprehend how God, whom we love and we know loves us, he loves us more than all the people who love us put together. And then why he doesn't stop stuff, right? tell the truth. That's the one of the first questions you have. Some of you have, like, God, why do you let? What's one of the main questions people ask? Why do you let bad things happen to good people? And he told us after we had the fall, we have consequences. But he also has remedies. So how do we comprehend? On one hand, we hear that God loves us. He won't leave us and he won't forsake us. And the God who loves us and won't leave us or forsake us also not only provides for us, but prepares us. And so on the other hand, how does he prepare us? He tells us that there are going to be tragedies. There are going to be troubles in this world, but I've overcome the troubles. So we have to put all that together. You know, I don't like doing proof texting, but just take those two texts together, that God does not leave or forsake us, but there's going to be tragedies, troubles in the world, but he's overcome the world. So when we put those together, I remember myself that he said I would have health problems. He said my body would cease at sometimes. As the grass withers, so does hello. So when I find myself on an operating table, it wasn't that it shouldn't happen. He said things like this are going to happen. But I'm telling you, he was just like he said. He was right there with me. Bad things are going to happen. Horrible things are going to happen. Horrible things are happening. And I have to believe, and I do believe, that even those who were being hit and hurt by bullets, as those who were protecting the lives of others with their own lives, I know without a doubt God was very present with them, whether directly, whether with Jesus, whether with his Holy Spirit, whether with his angels. And what they endured or what they felt, I don't know. But I know for myself, when I could sense and even see through closed eyes in operating room, surgeons and doctors and assistants and anesthetists and nurses going havoc and going cold blue twice, that Jesus was right with me. He was grafted so close to my arm